This week in your parents' basement, we blast and speed our way past the other cars in RC Pro-Am 1 and 2 for the Nintendo Entertainment System. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is our regular co-host, Huel Hauser.
My track conditions are very wet.
And my other co-host that feels the need for speed is Todd Brisket.
What is a Pro-Am?
Today we have a special guest and our first time return guest. We'd like to welcome back our old pal Pippins to the podcast.
I keep missing the letters.
Oh, you're going to get some today, buddy.
Woohoo!
As always, you can reach us by email, parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com, or by following us on Twitter or Facebook. Write in or comment and get a plug on the show. Subscribe to the show on iTunes and be sure to give us a
special
stars.
Prize.
If you like the show, be sure to tell a friend, and now you can source by purchasing goods on Amazon. For the click-through link, visit our website, www.yppodcast.com. Today's game is RC Pro-Am 1 from 1987 and RC Pro-Am 2 from 1992. Well before they made some classic platformers like Battletoads and Donkey Kong Country, the first-person shooter GoldenEye, England's Rare turned out lots and lots and lots of games. In fact, their fourth game ever was one of the first racers for the NES RC Pro-Am. If you were a kid growing up the late 1980s and the early 1990s, you probably played this racer. It featured these odd-looking dump truck cars, speed and handling power-ups, on-track hazards, and weapons to deal with the three other trucks you were racing. Your objective, don't come in last, which was fourth place. There was a sequel in 1992, which was basically the same as the original, but it added some more power-ups, the graphics were a little bit better, the tracks were a little bit longer, and you could actually play against other people, up to four other people. Three friends. So, Pip, you kind of picked this game. What made you come to that decision?
It was my Huel into? He likes that Battletoads.
Mm-hmm.
Me?
Yeah, it's my Battletoads.
I played Battletoads like three times. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't even think I owned it.
So what does that mean? What does it being your Battletoads mean?
It means that it was just a game that I had that I loved that I played all the time, and that I was interested in playing again. It was a nostalgia. It was a nostalgia pick.
It was like your Shaq Fu. That's Huel's.
That's what I'm trying to say. Okay.
That's Huel's favorite.
It's my Shaq Fu.
I had a feeling. Okay.
That's Huel's favorite game is Shaq Fu, as we established.
I put the most hours into that out of any game, probably.
So, Pippins, how were you actually good at this game then? Or did you just like playing it?
Well, I mean, I have memories of being good at the game. I don't know how well that translated to later in life me. This is the one title I played for the podcast that I did not use save states on.
Mm-hmm.
I did it all. 100% legit.
You did it raw.
Yeah.
Well, there's kind of no point in using save states. I guess if you get like far enough and you want to save your spot. Yeah.
Yeah. If you lose a race, you're not immediately kicked out of the game.
That's
well,
true.
I never got to the third car.
What do you?
I think with save states, I could have got to the third car.
Does that mean you never like won a race or?
Did you play the game?
I was gonna say I was not very good at this game.
Well, after you get the Nintendo letters, after you spell Nintendo, you upgrade to the next class of car.
Oh, and, I definitely didn't do that.
And you also reset all of your upgrades, and so your new car has reset upgrades in it, and you kind of go again till you can spell Nintendo again, and then you get the third car, which is the fastest car.
Is this the first one?
Yeah, this is the first one.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So you start out as a dinky little looking truck, and then you evolve into a crossover SUV, such as like a Lexus RX something, and then you get then you upgrade again. You become like a Toyota Supra or something like that.
And you're like super off-road.
Hmm.
So I only got to the second car.
Oh, well, I didn't even get to that point. I beat the first 5 or 6 stages of this. And that took me, like, to get to stage 5 or 6 did take me continuing once or twice. I was surprised at how bad I was at this, considering I was okay at the space shooting games we played a couple weeks ago.
The big thing about this one, and it's kind of like Gradius that we played, is that more so in this game, it's all about the memorization. If you're a kid, you do have repeated plays, you memorize the turns on the tracks, and you can predict when they're coming. Playing it as an adult, you have more difficulty because the angle that you play this game, you can't really see the turns that are coming up, and you have to have a very quick reaction to get into the turn.
Mm-hmm. You can barely see anything ahead of you because the layout of the game, for anyone who hasn't played it, it's like a top down view of the track, and you have your car going around it, but you can't see much around where your car is. You can see plenty behind you, which is not very useful. But as far as ahead of you,
if you're dropping bombs, it's useful.
Well, sure.
Oh yeah, yeah, it is. So I think that what they're going for in this one is that you are driving a little RC car. So if you're standing up on the side of a racetrack, that's the angle you're looking down at your RC car.
Yeah, I like the angle and the layout. That was fine. It's just it would have been nice to have the camera pan slightly more forward.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did feel like you're super zoomed in, kind of.
Yeah.
It does give you like a little mini map so that you can kind of see the curves that are upcoming, but I couldn't focus on the map and then also be focusing on not hitting the other cars and, you know, avoiding the oil stains and the water spills and all that kind of stuff.
The AI is very unforgiving.
That is a very strange part of this RC Pro-Am Championship racetrack league when you're racing all your race cars, is that the more prestigious racing you do, the more you move up in the ranks, the more competitive the races are, the worse conditions of the track are. It's just like by the 10th track, it's just covered in like oil and
grease everywhere.
Grease and water all over the place.
Traps and bombs.
Yeah.
Where are they holding these races?
At one point... This might have been in the second game. I can't remember. It's a blur. But there's like a biplane flying over the track, dropping bombs on.
Yeah, what? Who's flying that?
The Germans. This is a European game.
Who sanctioned this?
Yeah, Rare is based in England. It's probably a German.
Yeah, sure. this is a nice allegory for World War II, right?
It's almost, it's...
Clearly. Well, I remember how the Allied forces beat the Nazis by dodging oil spills. I think that's how that worked.
I think we killed Hitler with a RC car.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The suicide was just a cover up.
Yeah. You know how we dropped the atomic bomb?
Mm-hmm.
We just drove a little RC car into Hiroshima.
Oh my.
It was extended range.
Yeah. See, you just gotta, as Todd said, you gotta scratch below the surface on these NES games, and you just find symbolism everywhere.
As long as you could find 4D batteries, you were able to drive it in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of World War II, this game really did remind me of Micro Machines, which I had that game as a kid. I had this game that I was not very good at RC Pro-Am, even as a kid. Like, I vaguely recall getting the other cars, but my sister was always better at this game than I was. And I had...
Beat by a girl.
I know. We don't even allow them on here yet. And we had Excitebike, where I was better at Excitebike, but that I didn't like it as much as this game. This game was kind of fun to play, even though I was horrible at it.
Out of the three you just mentioned, Micro Machines is the best one.
Oh, I would definitely say so, but I feel like Micro Machines is kind of a fringe kind of game. Like not a ton of people had it.
I never have it. Did anyone notice in RC Pro-Am how the yellow guy, the yellow car, would always just sometimes get a super zoom power and go halfway around the track before you could even do anything?
Yes.
I'm like, what is this all about? Where is this power up that you're getting that is not accessible to anyone else on the track? This is obvious cheating.
I definitely never knew what power up I was actually running over. So
yeah.
I was just kind of hitting what I could and hoping it was good. I don't know.
I know it speeds you up when you get one of those power ups, but I never noticed it actually giving me more traction or more top speed or.
Oh, it does. If you once you play a game, I played one, and then as soon as I was out, I started right over, and there's a noticeable difference. It was going a lot slower at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Doing putt, putt, putt. So who tried the second one?
Everybody? I played it, yeah.
Yeah, I gave it a try.
I tried it, and I thought it was horrible.
I agree.
Worst piece of shovelware. It was like 5 years later. The graphics were worse. The sound was worse. The controls were not as tight. Like, it was not as fun. Like, did the same company even make it?
I'm going to have to completely disagree here.
Ooh.
I like the second one a lot more.
Some contrivance.
Really?
Yeah, it was easier to control. The tracks were better. I mean, it was crisper overall. I mean, it just took the first one and made it better, I thought. Besides the bomb plane. Yeah.
My biggest issue with the second one is that the camera doesn't lock onto your car. It's like shifting all over, so it's a little disorienting.
I thought that was better because you could see more at some points, which was my whole complaint about the first one.
I really enjoyed the music in the first one, especially like when you get the trophy. I don't know. Can we talk high scores? Like, what was everybody's high score for a single?
I don't know.
I can't even remember. Maybe we should start jotting these things down. Have a little contest.
Got to phone up Twin Galaxies.
I did think it was Brisket that it was odd that last week we did play Secret of Mana together for a little bit. We could have raced one another in this RC Pro-Am too, but...
Yeah, I was wondering about that.
No,
that would have been super fun.
Well, you know, I don't believe in fun.
You probably would have started at like 2 in the morning again, so...
Yeah, probably. And
maybe I wouldn't have joined in.
I actually had work this week, so that was distressing.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, and this is a very serious show that I don't really believe in having fun. So, for the second game, I don't know. I kind of like that you had the hills you could go over. That was kind of fun. And I found it a little bit easier to handle. But considering it came out 5 years after the first one, and also like the second one came out by that point, Mortal Kombat was out. Like, it did not really compare well to contemporary games. Like, Super Mario Kart was probably, like, a year or two away by the time the second one came out.
Sure. I was just comparing it directly to the first one, so I wasn't really thinking back in time to what was out then, but I just liked it more.
Like, if you had a time machine and you got both of these games in 1987, then, yeah, the second
one. I'd be blown away.
Well, that's what was going on with Nintendo, is that they started just making shovelware titles. Like, let's push out any kind of can and collect, because people love video games. Like when they buried an E.T. in the desert. This is right around the same time.
No, it wasn't.
No, the E.T. in the desert was like...
87 or something.
Yeah, that was Atari.
Well, scratch that.
My God, how much show prep did you do?
How many popsicles did you eat today?
Well, the graphics for number two were on par with E.T. I think that's where I get confusion.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
E.T.
Did you play one and think it was two?
No, I played one and I thought it was awesome.
The graphics there were awful.
Well, no, they're way better. You're at least insane. They're like filled in. I feel like they didn't even pay the artist.
Here's what
the entire graphics in.
Here's what I noticed about the graphics is that in one, all of the cars and all the tracks have a dark black outline around them, and in two, they have no outline around them.
Exactly.
So
therefore, it's better.
One is better than the other.
I'm an outline man. apparently.
Well, certain aspects of 2 are kind of odd, where the cars are smaller in 2. Bigger is better, Huel.
Yeah, so bigger tracks, so it's better.
Ooh.
Boom.
And I don't...
Boom, it's a Huelamite.
And, Pippins, I kind of get what you're saying. I feel like the graphic detail is... Oddly, it's a little brighter and crisper looking at one side to side with 2 in a way. I will say 2, I'd take this for what it's worth, but 2 was the Nintendo Power NES game of the year for 1993.
Oh. Well, obviously, I'm right then.
Yeah, I don't even know what else came out in 93. That was like the last year they released games for the NES, right?
That was slim pickings. I think that can be agreed on.
Therefore,
oh come on! There were
it was the best of the year.
God,
what do you got? Like Star Tropics 2? What else is out there?
Oh, guys, just wait till you hear some of these games. Alfred Chicken, Bases Loaded 4.
Oh, can we put Alfred Chicken on the list, please?
We'll have to see. Bonk's Adventure, which I think is a TurboGrafx game.
Solid.
It was solid. It's horribly downgraded for the Nintendo.
Wow, there are a ton of bad sequels that came out. Bubble Bobble 2.
Oh, no.
Casino Kid 2. Cheetah Man 2. Cool World, Color of Dinosaur. All your favorite classics.
Cool World.
Pugsley Scavenger Hunt.
The Brad Pitt movie had a game?
Oh, yeah.
An NES game.
Oh, boy.
Oh, we got to get that one on the list then, right?
Yeah.
Do we? Celebrity endorsed.
Tetris 2. All the classics. Ultima 5. Wayne's World. Yoshi's Cookie.
Wayne's World.
Yoshi's Cookie was an okay game. So we found one okay game beside RC Pro.
I don't remember.
Oh, guys. Kirby's Adventure was in 93.
Wasn't that SNES?
No. Kirby's Adventure is NES.
Oh, but that came out after the Game Boy version. Hmm. So even that was kind of a sequel.
Well,
oh, King of the Ring for WWF. I've played that.
Yes, there we go.
No, that is a trash game. That is a bad game. Lethal Weapon. I feel like the original Lethal Weapon came out in like the 80s. The original Lethal Weapon came out in 1987. My God.
Oh, right when they were burying E.T.?
Yeah, around then.
Funny how that happens.
Isn't it?
The Legend.
Coincidence? I think not.
Oh, and here's two others. Legend of the Ghost Lion. And Hillsfar, which both of them seem to be Dungeons & Dragons games. So, you know. Only the classics of gaming got released in 1993 for the Super Nintendo. I mean, for the NES. Yeah.
It's pretty clear.
Good stuff.
I know. I never owned 2 originally. And I think going back and looking at it, I would not own it again.
I don't think you're alone to kind of... I've sprinkled in the history notes here and there, but... you know, the original was pretty successful for Rare. I couldn't find any sales data for the second one, probably because it came out so late in the NES lifespan. Since then, they haven't made an attempt to revive the series at all. If you're jonesing for a copy of the first and second game, though, it's one of the 30 games featured on the Xbox One's Rare Replay Collection, which is scheduled to come out on August 4th. Other games on it are Battletoads, Conker's Bad Fur Day, and Perfect Dark. So there are some pretty good games on there. GoldenEye and Donkey Kong Country are not on there, though, for obvious rights and licensing reasons. So everything else that Rare made is on there. And they, by the way, I did not realize this till we were doing this episode. Rare made... load of games, like,
oh yeah,
like they weren't publishers, they were
Blast Corps
developers.
Oh yeah,
Like, there's tons and tons of them. Marble Madness, Snake Rattle and Roll, like, just a bunch of stuff I saw in Nintendo Power back in the day.
Well, they were, like, second-party Nintendo for a while.
Yeah.
Until they broke away.
Yeah, and that has to be why they were able to kind of shovel out so many games here. Since for most developers, Nintendo had a, they capped how many games you could release. I think it was something like 3 or 4 a year. Rare did way more than that, so
they weren't that rare.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm looking at 1989. In 1989, it looks like they had 1, 2. It looks like they pumped out 12 games in 1989. Which is,
they're like the Duggars of the
pretty much
of the gaming industry.
Timely reference.
Pretty much, and most of them are quite forgettable. Like Sesame Street 1, 2, 3. John Elway's Quarterback, Taboo the Sixth Sense, Cobra Triangle, Hollywood Squares, Iron Sword, Wizards and Warriors 2, all the classics.
They can't all be Donkey Kong Country.
It'd be nice if one of them in this time frame was.
Oh, I was a big fan of RC Pro-Am. Some early.
Do you guys know what a better version of this game is? It's called Ivan Iron Man Stewart Super Off-Road.
What?
I did play that back in the arcade a little bit back in the day. I didn't mind that game.
Yeah, it's good fun.
I never played it.
Ivan Iron Man Stewart?
Mm-hmm.
Was that the one that had the 4 different colors with the steering wheels in the arcade?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you drive the trucks around and you go over the ramps.
Yeah.
Get your power ups.
Yeah, and you have to spin the steering wheel like way more than you would a normal car.
Well, I didn't know that.
Well, he didn't have powered steering. There's
Oh, I'm Pippins. I know what a car does.
Yeah, I was 23 in 1989.
I was 47.
I just got my level 2 driver's license.
Me and my first family loved to go to the arcade and get pizza.
My Denver family.
I vaguely remember the Super Off-Road game. Because I was like a 7 or 8 year old boy in the arcade, I remember that it had sexy ladies between the races.
Yes, it did. It did indeed.
All 37 pixels of them.
No, this was like actual photos of ladies, kind of.
Oh, photos, like on the side of the machine?
That too, but...
Or like FMV?
No, it had like a... Actually, you're right.
Let me guess some more. Hold on. Go ahead.
There's a hologram.
They are more pixelated than I remember. I was upgrading
silhouettes
in my mind.
You saving that one for later?
You know, kids these days don't know how good they got it, man. As they were saying on Nerdist the other day, like, you know, you would just look at that scramble vision and hope you'd be able to see something through the snow.
Oh, yes. Hope it's not a guy's butt. You're like, no.
Or a girl's. Butts are gross.
that's where the poop comes out.
Yeah, man.
I did share a photo of the hot ladies from the Iron Man speed shop in the game.
Oh, Steve, I don't blame you. Holy, oh.
I know.
Watch out.
watch out for those dames with their night
stuff.
Look at that hair. That hair is impressive.
Stuff dreams are made of.
That's the type of hair you can't put a comb through. That's how you know it's good.
What?
Is that mean? It's how you know she's a real woman.
It's dirty and ratty? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, you get so much hairspray, you can't put a comb through that. It just sticks and stays.
Hmm.
That's how you do a real lady in the 80s, Huel. Not these dames nowadays. Anyways. Have any other great thoughts about this game?
I thought it was fun. I enjoyed playing it a second time. I was pretty proud of my getting to the second car and my 83,000 high score, which turned off as soon as I turned off the emulator.
It all goes away.
Never to be seen again. I thought the second game was complete tripe, horrible shovelware. But that's fine if others like it. Or like
we don't
it better
judge.
Than the first one. That's cool, man.
You do you, man. Whatever. But whatever you like.
All in all, I had a good time racing.
Your high score is definitely higher than mine. I only got into fifth place. So I want to say that was like around 16 or 17,000 points. So I was obviously the fourth place car in this one. The stupid red car or something.
Boo.
It's obviously the color of the car. That's the issue.
We have another allegory for real life here.
Yeah, I think Pippins is endorsing eugenics.
Mm-hmm. That's what I haven't heard before.
Well, you said the color of the car is what matters, so.
No, I just said that the color of the car means that the car is smarter and faster.
Better, more athletic.
And better at math.
Oh, jeez.
They're predisposed.
Yes. One may think of it like that.
Oh, great. We're not going to win a Peabody with this type of content, guys. Well, Brisket, what were your thoughts playing through this game?
Oh, you know, it was okay. I didn't grow up on this game. I've played it probably at a cousin's house or something, and it was a fun little romp. I can tell that this game laid the groundwork for one of the greatest games of all time, which is Super Mario Kart. They came along and stole all their ideas from RC Pro-Am.
I mean, I don't know how much credit Rare should get for doing this, because it's basically just, it's a racing game with weapons. Like, you know, it's not exactly, you know, the flux capacitor, the secret to time travel. I don't know if you've heard, but
someone had to do it first, you know?
Yeah.
It seems simple now, but back then, who knows?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I mentioned Excitebike. I think that's one of the few racing games that predates this.
How many times when you were playing Excitebike did you want to missile someone?
Oh, probably constantly. I mean, I don't even know if I was aware of missiles being a thing then. I could scarcely imagine a racing game with missiles.
Right, not until RC Pro-Am came along.
Yeah, Missile Command.
Missile Command.
But are those attached to race cars?
Right there in the title.
It's got missile right in it.
Missile Command was like a space game.
We had missiles, Greenwell. Come on. Talking about missiles here.
Follow along.
Ah, you're killing me.
History.
I was trying to look, find a list of racing games by date, but of course the internet is failing me.
Really, what this game made me want to do is playing it. I wish this were real life. Not that I'd be driving a race car, but that I'd be controlling a little remote control car going around a track. That's what I want to do. That sounds like a blast.
I agree.
Yeah. I feel like that's always disappointing when you, like, I had remote control cars as a kid, and they sucked after, like, four or five times doing it.
I always got the bizarre kind where they only go straight, but if you go in reverse, it turns the wheels.
What?
You know that kind?
That sounds like the worst kind ever.
Yeah.
The
are you guys
kind?
Familiar with that?
They're
the cheat kind. I mean, now you can get, like, you can go to any Best Buy and pick up a fast little zippy car for like $10 and it'd be awesome. But back in the day, The ones where you actually get to turn left and right costs like $50. Whoa, that's way out of my range.
Yeah, I had a friend that had like a ton of them. He would like customize them and stuff. I was like, wow, that's it's getting intense.
Wow. I bet he
like he had different tires for them and like stuff like that. And like,
He probably had more than Shaq Fu in Home Alone too.
Home Alone.
I just always try to think of new horrible games that your parents would give you.
Nope, just Shaq Fu.
Just Shaq Fu and the Noid.
I rented the Noid. I wasn't that dumb.
No, I feel like remote control cars were always disappointing, and the same thing went with racetracks.
Hold up, is that what RC stands for?
I assumed it did.
Got it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Sold.
Did we ever figure out what Pro-Am is? Jot that one down. What is Pro-Am? Is that
Professional America?
Yeah, I think
Remote Control Professional America.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like
it's obviously professional amateurs.
Okay. The tracks are amateur, but the racers are professional.
Sometimes.
Profesh.
Now, the box art is confusing because to support the remote control theory, the box art on the second one, it does look like they have antennas on top of them. For the first one, no, they do not. So,
the cars in game do. Yeah.
Yeah, in the game they have antennas.
Yeah, but the second one is trash.
How about that?
What was that?
Trash.
Pippins? Oh, okay.
Trashy antennas.
Trash.
It's trash.
You're just trash.
It's not fit for him to wipe his poops on.
We're not doing potty talk here.
Yeah, that's a different show with Lynette Corolla and
Granola?
Lynette Granola and Sue Plinsky.
And they say I ride coattails.
All I did was ride dust in this game.
Ooh. Self burn.
So just one quick story about this game. I got my wife to play this game.
Oh.
And that was a joy.
That was quick.
It was a joy. She never made it past the first track.
Oh boy.
She rarely made it halfway through one lap. Although by the end, about the eighth time she played, I think she got 1.5 laps in before the rest of the cars finished.
Oh no!
You know how when the track would like all of a sudden orient and you would be driving down, like that spatial relationship just didn't click. I think in her mind.
Oh, she couldn't figure out which way to turn.
Yeah, and so she would always end up going in circles and just like randomly turning into the wall.
Yeah.
It was a painful experience. It's painful.
Yeah, go ahead.
She was gonna participate, but
couldn't get that far.
Nope.
maybe next time you can just record her while she plays. I feel like that might be illuminating.
Well, she's right here. I'm sure she could describe her experiences.
What's up, YBP?
Hey.
Oh, this is just for the listeners at home. This is Big Smo, Cosmo, wife of Pippins.
It's known as Big Smo.
Yeah.
gang sets.
Certain police forces, yes. That is what she's known as. So how'd you enjoy this game?
Oh, what's she going to tell you?
I thought she was going to.
Hello.
Hey.
What's happening?
how'd you like this game there?
It was kind of a pain in the ass. No,
please watch your language.
Oh, excuse me.
Yes.
This is a family-friendly show here.
Pippins has been a perfect gentleman.
Oh, that's nice.
Well, I think Steve cursed first, actually.
No, the music reminded me of the 80s. You know, the music reminded me of those games you play when you're a kid or listen to other people playing when you're a kid. Mm-hmm. Did he tell you how bad I was at it?
Yes, he mentioned that you... he did he did bring up that you were not able to complete a single track.
Oh, that's not true. I did by the end. I was able to do a few. But when I first started it, it was annoying. It's the controller. I'm not used to it.
Is it when you were driving down, you couldn't figure out which way to turn, is what he said?
Kind of. I kept turning the wrong way when I didn't mean to.
Now, so this game does not really get the SMO seal of approval, except for the music.
Yes, I'll give the music a thumbs up.
It's got some jamming tunes.
Yes, I enjoy it.
That's good to hear.
Yes, so that's my 2 cents.
All right. Well.
Anyway, have a good evening. I will be listening to this later.
All right, get back to stealing some candy from Pippin.
Hey. I ate all his chocolate. Boy, he's just calling me out tonight.
Yeah, you got to pay attention to that guy.
Okay, have fun, guys.
Thank you, Smo.
Bye, Smo.
Talk to you later. All right, bye.
Microphone transfer is complete.
Boom shaka.
Look at you. Pippin's bringing the heat, bringing guests.
Yeah, I haven't even brought any guests.
I bring guest appearances.
Our guests bring guests.
Guest appearances.
Double guest.
I know, but maybe next time we can get a child's perspective on the next game you play. Although then we really will have to clean up our act.
Oh.
On second thought, no, children should not be involved in this operation at all.
This is way too late of an operation for children.
Good point. All right. Well, Pippins, was there anything else you wanted to add about the old RC?
No, I think I've added everything. I had a great time guesting for RC Pro-Am. I thought it was a fun little romp. I thought the second one was trash. The first one was gold. I think that's all there is to it.
Second one's going straight into the garbage.
Yep, straight into that ROM garbage. I made a subdirectory. Yeah. Made a subdirectory called garbage, and I moved it there.
He shredded it with his.
My C cleaner shredded
it.
Yeah,
exactly. He made sure it just.
There's no
scorched
chance
earth.
To...
Yeah, that hard drive space.
You gotta toss the hard drive now.
Accidentally undelete it.
It's trash.
Oh goodness. All right. Well, I think we're moving on to the emails then. Todd Brisket, did you get any emails?
I got an email in my box.
Oh.
Right into my inbox.
Oh.
And it's yet another letter from the prolific writer, Butterscoot24.
Huh.
Well, writes. Yeah,
okay.
Go ahead.
Go. No, I'm always concerned by him, but
okay.
Please.
He's always got some good video game questions for us.
Yeah, they're good questions.
It goes, Todd, on the subway today, a man came up to me to start a conversation. He made small talk, a lonely man talking about the weather and other things. I tried to be pleasant and accommodating, but my head hurt from his banality. I almost didn't notice it had happened, but I suddenly threw up all over him. He was not pleased, and I couldn't stop laughing. I watched you while you played your video games the other day, and I was pleased. Kind regards, Butterscoot24. Yeah, Butterscoot. I was fiddling around with my Twitch account a few days ago, and I tried to stream myself playing Crusader Kings 2.
Interesting.
What do you guys think about the modern-day phenomena of online streaming?
Well, I for one, do not care. I've never watched one. I don't see the appeal. I'm an old man who just, I don't get it.
I do not really watch streaming. I do watch a weird Japanese show called Retro Game Challenge, where an old Japanese man plays video games very badly.
Oh, really? I gotta check that out. That sounds,
yes.
Yeah.
It sounds like big smoke playing games.
That might be appealing.
Yeah. Yeah. So I know a few guys that stream on Twitch and then they try to monetize it and play their video games. So just been fooling around with it, trying to set it up. And so if you want to check out what I'm doing, want to watch me make all the wrong decisions in Crusader Kings, that's something you could do.
Now what is
it's the monetizing I never understood.
How's that guy make 7 million
people?
Why aren't we doing that?
Yeah. How does the monetization work? So there's different ways. You can have that one guy on YouTube, the PewDiePie. He does it through advertising. Like, he'll just sign a contract and toss a Coke ad on in front of his videos. Okay. And there's usually how the average Joe would do it is through Patreon or something like that, where you set a schedule like, I'm going to stream Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 6 to midnight. And people would subscribe to that to watch you. And it is kind of weird that people do that. But like if you're working a desk job during that time and you like the streamer's personality, you might want to subscribe to watch them play some new games and figure it out. Whenever there's a new game that comes out, I check out some Twitch streams and see what it looks like and see what see the actual gameplay instead of kind of a condensed review gameplay.
Yeah, you don't want to see what the man's giving you in Game Informer. You want to see it in action. You want to see it live.
Yeah, that's right.
Follow-up question. Has anyone watched your stream? Like, do you know if there's been people watching you play this Crusader Kings?
Well, besides, I know Butterscoot.
Yeah, exactly.
Butterscoot has. I only tried it out for like 2 hours, so I think maybe one or two people popped in and then quickly left.
Can they, like... I'm guessing they can chat with you while you're trying to play, or that you can see if they say anything.
Yes, you can see that. And no, nobody said anything.
Oh, well, what is Crusader Kings? I've never heard of it.
It is an awesome strategy game for PC. It's like Civilization, except for you're a king. So it's kind of a mix of role-playing game and a civilization game, mm-hmm. where you're a king and you have to create your lineage and you have to broker marriages between different dukes and kings to keep your lineage going.
Oh.
And keep your lineage strong, but you're also taking over other duchies and counties and stuff.
Oh yeah, I think I know what you're talking about now. I do vaguely that I just mentioned it. I think that was in a Game Informer I read, or whatever the free magazine you get from GameStop is called.
I think that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's a very, very niche kind of game. It is definitely not for everybody.
Yeah, I read the review of it and I thought, oh, this is kind of something that'd be up my alley. But also, I could see where I would lose 200 hours of my life to it, like I have with Civilization 4 and 5. So. Never, mm-hmm. never taken the plunge on that.
I'm well on my way, and it's preventing me from playing other games that I should be playing, like Grand Theft Auto or what the hell is it called? Dragon Age
RC
or Witcher 3. It's just it's preventing me from playing those.
RC Pro Am 2.
Yeah.
since we did do a brief aside on games we're playing now, I just finished Peer Solar, which is a Genesis RPG that was released like 2 or 3 years ago. And it is bad. It is not a good game. So definitely don't buy the Genesis version, which costs like $50. You do get a cart, which is kind of cool, but the game is it's like lower quality than like a normal Genesis RPG. It's lower quality than like an RPG Maker game that's like just a homebrew. I'm playing it on PlayStation, which has the benefit of auto saving, and you can turn the encounter rate like down and completely off so that you don't have to mess with random battles, and it's still bad. It's still Buzz, your girlfriend. Woof. So Huel, are you playing any games? besides show stuff?
Not really. Not really.
Well, I can't blame you. This is busy times.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Huel, have you got any emails?
Yes, I did. I received an email this week for the show.
Mm-hmm.
This is from ScooterBot42, writing in again. So they write, I was questioned last week by Steve whether I was still a fan of Huel's. Let me assure you, he's still great. In fact, he's probably the greatest podcaster I've ever heard.
Oh.
It's just that lately, I haven't had much time to write these emails, so I'm just trying to get my thoughts in quickly. It's also been brought up that I don't ask any questions for the podcast, so here goes. What are your favorite spots for getting food at no monetary cost? Sincerely, ScooterBot42.
Huh.
So, fellas,
well, you can't. Here's what you can't beat, Scooty. Mm-hmm. You know, this doesn't. Maybe in an open world sandbox game, you have to concern yourself with foraging for food. But in the real world, here's what you do: go to a donut shop at the change of a shift where they're going to start baking new donuts. They throw out everything, and they're all tasty and delicious.
Great. So if he kind of hangs out in the alley, he could maybe grab some as they're thrown out.
Yeah.
That sounds like a great idea. Steve, did you have any suggestions?
I was going to say he could go to Taco Bell, get himself some mild, some hot, and some extra hot sauce.
Oh, yeah. Mix it up. Get a little variety in there.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. A little smorgasbord of sauces.
Yeah. Maybe if he's lucky, you know, they'll also be throwing some bagels out at that donut shop.
Have some hot sauce bagels.
Yeah.
A delicacy.
Exactly. It'll put a fire in his belly, literally.
Oh, look at that.
I know. Although, I mean, it is nice. It's better that he did ask a question this week. But it's a question that just makes me worry more about him. Like,
well, I'm not sure what you mean, but
I don't think that's normal to be asking where he can get free food from for nobody.
Yeah, everyone likes free food.
He might be on a tight budget because he just bought a 360 or something.
Yeah, he's probably, you know, saving up for some of the games we were talking about, or he hears us talking about PC games. I mean, he's probably got to save up for one of those.
He really needs a box copy of Secret of Mana.
Exactly.
Or even Secret of Mana. Either one.
Ooh.
The sequel.
Secret of Mana.
He needs both. Oh, no. Yeah. I only got one email this week.
Okay.
It says, Dear Brisket and Huel and Steve, this is show number 12 for the podcast. What's been your favorite episode so far? Sincerely, Christina Ricci.
Oh.
Wow. It's quite the listener there. Okay.
How does she spell her name?
Oh, well.
With a K?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, so I don't think it's the
it might be a different Christina Ricci.
Star of.
Oh, Christina with a K, I got you.
Star of Casper.
Yes.
We're Adam's family.
Yes, and I'm...
Values.
So we're saying this is not that one, probably.
And Pumpkin. Have you guys ever seen Pumpkin?
I've seen Pumpkinhead.
Oh, no. Pumpkin is where Christina Ricci plays a cheerleader who falls in love with a mentally challenged person.
That seems appropriate.
And I don't mean that they're bipolar. I mean that their IQ is 50. Yeah, I watched it in high school with a date. We did not know what we were getting into. So, anyways, what's been your favorite episode so far, Brisket?
Oh, I liked the Shaq Fu episode. That was a good episode for a terrible game.
Direct attack on you, Huel. What was your favorite?
Well, I think I would have to agree with Shaq Fu. It's just amazing how much garbage and trash has been heaped upon me, and yet that is considered a great and favorite episode. So I think apologies might be necessary, or maybe just some understanding.
It has made us by far the best podcast focused on celebrity endorsed games on the internet. Between that,
we're racing to the top.
Yeah, between that and some of the other, we do have some shows planned for the future that are going to be. I don't want to oversell them, but they're going to be magical.
I'm not sure I can remember all the ones we've played, all 11 other games.
Well, there was Shaq Fu.
Could open up all my ROMs.
Oh,
Vector Man.
Oh, you mean
X-Men.
Super Mario Brothers?
I really like the NBA Jam one, actually, also. For a different answer.
Star Fox.
Secret of Mana. NHL.
Great.
Mario.
Yeah, I think you guys have... I think you've nailed them all at this point.
DuckTales.
DuckTales was pretty good.
I'll rank that as number 3. So I'm going Shaq Fu. What did I just say? NBA Jam.
NBA Jam.
And DuckTales.
You and your list.
Let's continue congratulating ourselves on our episodes.
Yeah, please. More reflection and...
Hopefully someone asks us what's our favorite after episode 13, a.k.a. next week. My favorite was probably... It probably was Shaq Fu. So...
Take that, everyone else.
Yeah. We peaked at episode 8 or so. It's only downhill from now on.
Well, I just can't wait to find out what Winona Ryder asks us next week.
Winona Ryder? Please, yeah. She's too busy probably serving 5 to 10.
Oh, that's still funny.
Yeah. The old Norm MacDonald joke. Winona Ryder took the stand today in court, and now the stand is missing.
Norm.
I know. And he told that joke like 2 years ago, which makes it even better.
It is even better.
Yeah. So on that note, I think we kind of plowed through the emails here, guys. Todd, did you have anything else to say before we signed off here?
Yeah. I would like to thank the RC Cola Company for sponsoring this episode and making the games back in the 80s. It's such a great and classic video game. Thank you, RC Cola.
And for a great and classic drink, you can't go wrong with RC Cola, really. Huel, what are your thoughts here?
I would just like to thank Pippins for coming on and expressing his thoughts that Pro-Am 2 was the better of the two RC Pro-Am games.
Yeah, that's exactly what he said, too.
Mm-hmm. He was...
I said, wow, once I played number 2, I could tell how much better it was.
He was very aggressive about how much he loved 2.
Mm-hmm.
I felt a little...
It almost made it awkward.
I felt a little uncomfortable about how much he loved 2. Like...
It was weird. It got weird.
Yeah, like walking in on two people making out him in that second game. All right, on that note, we're going to leave you with a little bit of a snifferoo from our next episode.